Good morning. A reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to them, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." May God bless this reading to our hearing and to our understanding.
Let us pray. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Preachers love the story about the cleansing of the 10 lepers. Its message of the necessity of gratitude is welcome and easily digested. It's not lost on us that its placement in the midst of stewardship season might serve to nudge the gathered flock from gratitude to generosity. All the commentaries I consulted this week emphasized the importance of thankfulness and suggested that all sermons be focused on this topic, which is all well and good, and I'm certainly not against expressing thanks to one another and to God, along with help, please, and wow. It's one of my favorite prayers. But I'm a bit suspicious whenever I hear a simple story, especially when it's in the Bible, because you can be pretty sure there's more going on than we might suspect. Straight off the bat, there are problems with this tale. First, it starts with a kind of once upon a time by saying, on his way to Jerusalem. We shouldn't see this as a simple image from Google Maps. On his way to Jerusalem casts a cloud over this story right from the start, because we know that it is in Jerusalem that he will be convicted and crucified. We might instead read this as on his way to his death. Second, the text says Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. There is no region between Samaria and Galilee. It's as if we were to say that we were going through the region between Vermont and Canada. There is no such place. You can stand with one foot in Vermont and one foot in Canada. Jesus was on the border, the line between two states, one of which was Samaria and considered foreign and other. Not only was Jesus on a border, it was a problematic one at that, as most borders tend to be. We've only to think of the border between Syria and Turkey, or our border with Mexico, to know how fractious borders are. The first sentence of this story is no simple once upon a time. It's a setup. It's a wake-up call. It alerts us to potential tension and conflict. Borders have been the scenes of contention and struggle across the globe and throughout history. As they are in our lives as well. I like to call them threshold moments. There are times when we stand at the crossroads, at the border of one way of being and another, a time when we are crossing, whether by fate or intention, from the past to the future. We unwittingly cross thresholds all the time. When our kids were young, I was all too familiar with the very thin line between restraining myself and completely losing it and inflicting harm. Where once I might have believed that I'd never intentionally harm my children, I found that all it took was little sleep, too many commitments, tired children, and too many things going on, and a bit of worry, and in a minute, I had to draw myself back from some really unfortunate behavior. And I suspect that I'm not alone. Every time we make an intentional choice to proceed in a specific way, we cross a threshold. One amongst us told me recently that their family is struggling to go zero waste, led by their 12-year-old resident climate activist. So the mom goes into the grocery store channeling her daughter, refusing to use or purchase anything packaged in plastic. "I came out with a handful of apples," she exclaimed. "Nothing more. We have nothing to eat for dinner." At one time or another, we all face major thresholds as well. What course of treatment should be followed for a particular illness? Is this finally the border between the quality and quantity of life? Relationships face threshold moments frequently as we pray for wisdom and for guidance. What would crossing from one way of being to another look like? Forgiveness, self-assertion, complicity, love, selfishness, generosity, grace, disaster? Is it time literally to cross the threshold of one house to another? Is it time to downsize? Are you at a professional crossroads? What does that look like? Do you speak up when you see something unethical happening at work and risk your job? Does the word whistleblower echo in your ears? Are you tempted to cut corners and do less than you might, knowing that you can probably get away with it? Are you thinking of making perhaps a career change, not just changing jobs, but changing professions? Might you go back to school? Have you been, by no choice of your own, dumped on this threshold through the loss of your position? Do you find yourself at a tantalizing threshold where you're flirting with something deliciously appealing and yet clearly destructive? This story shines a light on how we act and react and behave at threshold moments on the border between the old way of being and the new way of being. 10 people afflicted with leprosy approach Jesus and beg for mercy. Respectfully, we're told that they kept their distance, knowing perfectly well that people will shy away from them if they get too close. Jesus instructs them to go to the priests, because only the priests can certify that they are clean. It's interesting that Luke doesn't say that Jesus waved a wand and healed them, or prayed over them, or rubbed mud in their eyes as he was wont. We don't hear of Jesus doing anything but instructing them where to go. It's on their way to the priests that we hear that they are healed. They followed Jesus's instructions, even though when they set out to the temple, they were presumably still covered in suppurating lesions. There's a message here for us, I think, that we do well to listen to Jesus and his teachings for our lives, and also that when we follow Jesus, we won't immediately find our lives transformed and wonderful. It might well be discouraging and seemingly useless. It's on the journey that things will change down the road. So it was for the lepers that as they followed Jesus' direction on the path, they were healed, exuberantly happy. They start dancing and run off to the temple to preen before the priests. All but one of them. One person turns back, prostrates himself at Jesus' feet and thanks him. The gratitude, of course, is essential, but it is the turning back that intrigues me. When we cross thresholds, I think our inclination is to do so with 90% forward motion. Whether we leap across the boundary, having made a decision, are thrust across by fate, or slip furtively into another land, we aren't inclined to look back at what we're leaving. This is where the tension is in this story. The willingness, the humility, and the courage on the part of the 10th leper to turn back. In that turning back, he's not just going to express gratitude. He's acknowledging the full weight of where he's been. Without recognition of what he's endured, his new life would not be as bright. Admittedly, when we cross thresholds, we aren't always leaving something painful for something less so. It can be the other way around, can't it? Loss of any kind puts us on a threshold where we're apt to long for what has been and keep turning around to grab for what we've lost. We can adamantly resist crossing into a new way of being. But if you've ever tried to will yourself not to be sad, you know that it doesn't work very well. This story suggests that true wisdom and growth happen only when we stop and we turn around and we acknowledge what has been and what we might be leaving or letting go, what we have learned or suffered or survived, and only then, consciously and faithfully move forward or make the decision not to cross the threshold. It asks also that we entertain the notion not that God has maneuvered our fate, but that God has been with us all along. If you've ever been with someone who's dying, you know that at some point they turn back to recall their lives, what has happened to them, and the people they have loved. It's been my experience that even though they're dying, most people are grateful, some for their very lives, and some for just the moist sponges that wet their lips. As we're poised on our own particular threshold, the question for us this morning is whether we have the courage to turn around before we leap forward. And it does require some bravery to acknowledge what we're leaving, where we've been, what we've learned, and integrate this into our future way of being. New beginnings are always an accumulation of our past experiences. What Jesus promises is that when we move in faith, when we trust that the future is imbued with God's love, we will be healed. When exactly this healing will occur is not predictable, as we've seen. How often have we heard Jesus say, and did we hear this morning, your faith has made you well? Think of an oyster. Its scraggly, rough, sharp shell, the inside of which is luminously lovely. We are like the tiny grain of sand inside that shell. Throughout our lives, we get irritated and rubbed and nicked and protected and loved, and we grow inside the protection of the iridescent shell with the juice of the oyster covering us. And I don't want to take this metaphor so far as to suggest that God is an oyster, so save me from that. But the beauty of our created universe and our own complicated and blessed rough lives always happens within the shelter and love of God's creation. So yes, it turns out that gratitude is important, but you can't say thank you to no one. While 9 lepers skip off to the bar to crack a beer, the 10th pauses on the threshold of his new life and turns back to Jesus, turns back to the shell of isolation and pain that he is leaving, and gives thanks for everything that has brought him to that moment in time. So may you all, pausing on your own thresholds, acknowledge God's presence in your past and in your future, and move forth trusting that God will hone your rough edges, coat you with love, and rejoice in the pearl you are becoming. Amen. So let's